Edna, I've been getting a few requests, more requests for more music like this, and more traditional gospel type, and so we've been talking about it, and we'll see what we can do to kind of feed that in. How many of you would want more of that? Okay, anybody? You do? Okay. Well, that answered that question then, all right. And we'll try to jazz it up more, but... Okay, so most of you, all right. Well, we'll see what Ed can do back there. I'm sorry, Ed. he'll go to work on it. But I just was thinking, all right, we'll just ask here because we're getting some requests like that. So, all right. Okay, today, this message is, I don't know how to tell you about this message. I titled it The Proof of a True Believer. And it's good, and then there's some parts you might think, that's not good. There's some parts that you'll say, I like, and some parts you'll say, don't like. But yet it's real. And here's the reason for it. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and what He gives us, and all the love, hope, peace, faith, joy, all this thing, and the patience, long-suffering. And you say, boy, that's a lot to work on. It's not just a lot to work on. It's a lot to allow to happen. And that's the whole key to fill in the Holy Spirit. It's not that you have to go seeking the Holy Spirit. It's not that you have to fall down and roll in the dirt to get to receive His filling. You got to give Him something to fill. And you can't put something in a receptacle that's already full. And the Holy Spirit is competing in our lives against anger and abusiveness, past hurts, all kind of traditional hang-ups, what we've been taught, somebody told me, my old denomination, whatever it is, and all that stuff's in our head and our heart. And the Holy Spirit is wrestling, competing against that to say, get this out and let me fill you afresh. Get rid of this anger, this contention, this contentious spirit. You know, being mad at everybody, mad at the world, mad at God, you know, mad at yourself. I don't know. Who are we mad at? We're mad at so many things. Mad at the government. Well, okay, nobody in here is mad at the government, but some people are out there that are listening. You know, it just everything seems like it, and so you've got all this animosity and this tension, this stress. You feel oppressed. You get down and depressed. So all of this stuff that's taking your attention away from God, see, that's competing. All this stuff. Think about it. Every time you get upset anywhere, anytime, and let that linger for just a little bit, that's competing against the Holy Spirit. And so you say, well, why can't I just be filled? I pray for it. Get rid of some of the junk. Give Him room to come in and have His way in your life. And it takes some confessing. And it takes some saying to God, I can't overcome this anger. I just can't do it by myself. I can't overcome this hang up, this thing here, whatever it is, this doubt, this worry. He says not to worry. So if I worry, am I breaking His word? Yeah. Because worry is what? It's saying I don't have faith for you to handle it. So I've got to try to figure a way out to take care of it. Everybody in here that worries, I know we don't have many worriers. You already know I am. I've confessed it many times. I have to pray constantly for God to conquer this thing of worrying, and I worry especially. Most of my one of my biggest chief worries is guess what? You, all of you. Yes, I worry about you, and you'll share things with me or whatever. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't share things, but I worry. I think, God, please don't let them fall into this. Don't let them go any further. Don't let this happen. And don't let them be sick. I find out somebody, and then I start worrying about it and thinking, what can I do more? What can I preach better? What can I say? What kind of prayer can I? And then that's my hang up. And I worry about other things, but yes, each one of you and your situations in life. And it's like, am I able to just walk out of here on Sunday and just leave it? No. No, I don't. Never have. But I also God has to put me in my place somewhere along the line, and he does. And he gets a hold of me. It takes a day or two or three for him to say, these are my people. You're my people. You can't fix anybody. I fix them through you. My calling is to, if you want to put it that way, fix people. That's what the preaching and the teaching and the ministering and the praying is making you better, fixing. But that's, I'm only an instrument. He's doing it through me, through his word, through his power, through his Holy Spirit. See, that's God doing it. I'm that's all I am. If some people have said, would you come and pray for over, you know, and heal my child or whatever. I can't do that. No human being's ever been able to do that except Jesus. But his power flowing through us can. And people misinterpret, think we did it. No, we don't do any of it. We're vessels. He gets the glory. It all belongs to him. So keep that in mind. But for that to happen, I have to continually give him my worrying, stressing nature. And I can't claim any of you or anything to myself. I can't even claim this church body. Nothing. It's not mine. It's his. People say, my church and my this and my pastor and my study group or my... No, it's not yours. None of it is. It's not mine. Pastors will say, my church. Well, I'm going, you know, that's my church. That's been my church for... So really? If it's really your church, then it's not a church of the Lord. And I know it's not meant that way most time, but this is to plant the seed and say, what belongs to you, to us? We stress and worry over so much, and it doesn't belong to us. I sometimes wish it did. Right now, don't you wish that high government office belonged to you? Don't you wish it was in your power to reach up there and pluck out and put in? There'd sure been a lot of plucking, and it'd been a long time ago on my part. But God says, that's my territory. Why are you worrying about it? Pray about it. Let it go. That's my turf. Church is my turf. Everything here. The music is his turf. Ed's a vessel. Ed's a vessel for God to work through and say, okay, picking this music, doing this. Whatever happens, the message is all of it. So we get the idea. So what in your life is impeding that? What are you hanging on to? Who are you mad at? What are you upset about? Why are you having such cranky words with people? On and on it goes. Why are you so stressed out all the time? I didn't mean to look over there at you. I just happened to fall that way. It wasn't personal. I said that and was looking around. I was like, oh, don't take that personally. But all this stuff. And where's the Holy Spirit supposed to work? So the call of God is, we're going to look at some things today about real Christianity, proof of the pudding. But as we're leading into that, all of this is part of this message that you don't have up here, is to say, if this is going to happen, you're going to let God have control of your life. Give him something to control. What are you letting God have control of versus what you're controlling? Do you just have to be in control? I'm not going to look over there. What would happen if God tied your arms and put his spiritual tape over your mouth and you couldn't be in control? Would you die? You would die? Okay. Yeah, I knew then. Yeah, because I've had true confessions from that field over there. It would be your death blow. Okay. Anybody else? You too? Okay. At least you're honest. Everybody's honest in here about it. Yeah, good. So if we just tied you up and God put you in a corner, you wouldn't wake up. Is that what the whole thing is? Is anybody else like that? Okay. All right. Are there any real chief warriors around here that stay up at night? Do you do that? Okay. Yeah? Okay. Okay. And over here? Okay. And you're not alone. I struggle with that myself. And that's my deal, and we already know that. We all have our things. And let me ask you this. Is there anybody just so mad that you just can't see the world without seeing through mad? You just got a mad filter in front of you. Okay, thanks. Anybody else? It just is good to say, that's me. Anybody else? Are you angry today? This is not a pick on anybody. This is to say this. All these things compete and fight against the Holy Spirit. And we're not going through this little exercise to do it. It's to say, do you really want to be God's child and you want to experience the power of Christ in your life? Then there's got to be some things yielded to the Lord. And usually they're our most precious things, because we've held on to them a long time. They've got to be given to God and empty out some stuff in our hearts and our minds so the Holy Spirit can come and fill us. It makes sense, right? The Holy Spirit is like taking a glass of water that you dipped up and put dirt in. And then you poured half of it out and said, okay, God, I poured out some of this water, and there's only dirty water in the bottom half. I want you to come and pour in your pure water on top. And he's saying, I will not stay with contamination. I will not abide with sin. You dump this out in confession. You clean this. And I'll help you. I'll take it. That's what he said. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If anyone will open the door, I'll do what? I'll come in and I'll sup. What he's saying, I'll live there. I'll clean it up for you, but let me in. And I'll clean that old glass out for you and get all those water spots off of it and make it crystal clear, the glass of your heart. But why do we offer God a heart that's dirty? Why can't we offer him a confession? Now, don't hear this wrong. Listen carefully. We can't clean ourselves up to receive the Holy Spirit. None of us can be that clean. But we can start confessing and getting out the garbage as much as we can. Then he'll come in and clean up the rest. But don't expect him to share a half a heart or half a glass of dirty water. He won't do it. He'll want to tip that over, pour it out, clean it up, so we're totally pure. Everybody with me? So this whole thing is to let that happen. And whatever it is that's got you, it's time you got it by confessing it and giving it to God. And maybe you might have to give it to God 5 times a day. Give it until you see the victory, and the victory will come over whatever it is. Whatever sin that's your stumbling block, it's time to deal with it. It's time to let God have it. Because we have some very serious things here we're going to talk about now. And this is why we had to cover this part as a kind of a lengthy intro to get into this message. And it's in Matthew chapter 7. Where we get into the judging others and ask, seek, knock in the narrow and wide gates. But then where we want to start today is verse 15. Where he says, I hope I brought the right Bible. I did. In verse 15, where he begins there, watch out for false prophets. And you see, we're going to read, there's three different categories here that you've got, you and I have got to pay attention to. And know this is lengthy, so let me read it as fast as I can. And when I do that, we're going to miss meaningful parts that I always want to stop and talk about. But we just need to read it, and I'll hit the highlights. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? You catching this? Or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Everything that does not bear good fruit. Hear this? Everything that does not bear good fruit is cut down. Now that should get our attention. Anyone not bearing good fruit, the scripture, Jesus himself said, I'm going to cut you down. You're going to be cut down. And that'll wake us up and say, you mean? Yeah, he means. And that's why you've got to get it done. Get it straight. You don't want to be ill all the time, hurting all the time, things happening to you. I wonder sometimes with things, it's not every case, but are there cases where we're just continually ill, stuff happening, blah, blah, blah? Is God sawing away, saying, you want me to cut all the way through, or do you want me to stop? Because I'm going to cut down everything that's not bearing good fruit, and you're not bearing good fruit. And that's serious business. And so let me read the rest of it. See, I didn't want to do this. I thought, don't stop. Don't stop and start. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Now, that's true in false prophets. Now, we're going to go to the next one. Not everyone who says to me, this gets even scarier, Lord, Lord. He said, you can call out my name. You can say to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who does that will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Hey, this is good. That's good stuff. You did what? You know, look what this says. They prophesied in Jesus' name, drove out demons in Jesus' name, and they performed miracles in Jesus' name. And he said, then I'll tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You ever took this serious? You ever mean you read it and just really pondered, meditated on it, said, what in the world? And then there's the third one. And he says, therefore, there's a therefore. He said, now I've told you these things. Now, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He said, so if you take my words, you put them into practice, you're wise. You're building on a rock. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, there's a whole chapter of things judging. They ask, seek, knock, and the narrow and wide gates. But I've taught on a lot of this already, but not this part. Because it's not a comfortable part, and it's a tough part for God to lead me into. The last real serious one was the narrow and wide gates. Because this is, I don't want anybody to, God, and God doesn't want you to doubt your salvation. He just wants you to be sure of it. And he wants you to know that there's just a certain practice here, the proof of true believers. So let's look at the first one. And it's know them by their fruits. You'll know by their fruits. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, we've been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you'll have someone that just talking up a big storm about, you know, we've all known people like that. Boy, they just talk up a big thing about Christ. They, oh yes, and I've done this and I've done that. And I went to this study and I blah, 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 blah. But what he's saying is, now look at their life. Do you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in any form in their life? None of us have it perfected. Not of us. Is there anyone in this room that feels like that you have patience perfected? Our self-control, our love, our faith, but it shows. And that's what he's saying. He said it needs to show. It may not be the prettiest thing in the world, but it's there. And so first of all, it's like when you, if someone, it comes in, or you, a pastor, you meet a pastor, you meet a, or you're watching somebody on TV, check out their life. How do you do that? There's so much research now. You can just go on the internet, and if you believe half of it. But you can go in and start looking at their stuff. Now here's the problem. I just want to share this with you. These are things that make me go, whoop, caution light comes on. And I read about this not long ago. And there's a certain pastor who's very, you know, very wealthy. And I found out that he has a garage full. It's like Jay Leno. He's the Jay Leno of ministry, and he has all these cars, and it's like, how many thousands or hundreds of thousands have you got wrapped up in these things? How many people are starving around you? It's not, listen to me, if God said, Tony, I'm going to raise your salary to $1 million a year, would I reject it? Don't count on it. But if you said, Tony, I'm going to give you $30 million, I pray to God, and I want you to pray to God, Tony, don't go spend that on material things. Yes, help your family, but help people. Help your church. Do all these things. You don't need 20 cars. I think this guy has 20-something, maybe more, automobiles, classics. By their fruits, you'll know them. Is that good Christian fruit? I'm not running anybody down. I'm just asking you a question. You see, by their fruits, what's your life showing? Are you good to people? Are you really out there sacrificing for people? Or do you have people serving you? I knew another pastor, and much closer. And that guy, he insisted that the church hire him a personal, what would you call it, aide to carry his briefcase for him. Now, is that fruit of the Holy Spirit? I thought we were called to serve, not be served. And I used to see that guy. He'd show up at certain meetings and stuff when I was in the old days. And here come his little trotter, and he'd have his hands full of paper, looking important. And it just wanted to gag. I did. You know, it's like, I was a young pastor. Okay, I didn't have all the credential stuff back then. And I was out of seminary, but I didn't have all the other degrees and stuff. And here he comes, and he'd walk in with his full suit. And here's his little aide. Looked like a general, you know, with the general's aide running along beside him, carrying all of his important stuff. And he'd sit down, and everybody, of course, would, oh, hi. It's like, ignore him. Don't give him that praise. The guy thinks he's a little god. I bet it's probably just old newspaper stuffed in the little bag he's carrying just to make him look important. And how many other people have you known like that? How many elders in the church or deacons in certain churches, whatever, and they just carry themselves and like they're God Almighty? I thought that one of the first rules of the Holy Spirit with the fruit, he said, you know, gentle and all this. But what's one of the first rules of being a Christian that he puts in our hearts? Humility. And to give us the servant's heart. I'm saying all this not to crucify somebody, but to use as examples to say, look at Jesus' life. Look at what he taught. And when somebody's, you know, acting like they know it all and all this stuff, look at the fruit. That's how you find out. Watch them. Are you humble? Are you a servant? If you see somebody drop their Bible on the floor, did you go pick it up? Or did you just walk right by or say to someone, oh, they dropped their Bible? Listen, you think people wouldn't do that? I've known a lot of people do that. They would not stoop to serve anybody. That is not Jesus Christ. And so by their fruits, you'll know them. And you have to look at your own life. I have to look at my life. And boy, you got to keep your, you know, feed it. You got, you know, used to old saying, keep your feet on the ground. But in this case, you got to keep your heart in Christ and say, do they have the fruit of the Holy Spirit? I have to ask myself, which we all should, Lord, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit that we've been studying? Is it in some form or another coming out? When people come up, do they see at least enough of this fruit where they can get it from my life that you produce? And you look at someone who's you know, they discern about these false prophets, make sure they're of God. And not only do you look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but do they try to live the Word? I mean, are they really trying to let Jesus abide in them? And we can't do it perfectly, but is their life consistent? And look at something else. Do they treat others well? I want to tell you, I want to share with you a scary thought. We'll move on. When a person professes to be a Christian, but they seem to major on running other people down, there's something wrong somewhere. You just can't be a spirit-filled believer and beat other people down. Oh, we're going to say things once in a while. Oh, yeah. The Lord's had to hold my mouth many, many times in this work. I've wanted so much to say things. And I have said them when I got in my truck. You won't know how many people I've told off in that pickup told my secrets. Oh, Lord, help us all. But the Lord will strain you, and you can sense it. You ever go beyond that restraint? When you sense it, it's like the Lord's just pressing on your chest. You just feel it, and if you stop, it releases, and there's a happiness, a joy. But if you step beyond and let it go, he's grieved, and you know it, and you're now madder than ever before because you're mad at yourself for being like that. Has anybody ever pulled that stunt? Well, you know you've done it, and now the pressure increases, and if somebody's hurt, does the person who you're looking at, the false prophet, that kind of whatever category that falls in, do they treat others well? Do they treat them with respect? You know, if you want to be honored, you got to treat people with honor. Are they confessional? Are you? You know what I mean by that? What God means by that? A real Christian. A real true Christian. A real true prophet. Is confessional. What does that mean? They don't wait for their sins to be found out. They tell on themselves. They confess their sins so that it'll help others. Are they confessional? Are they willing? They're not hiding behind some platform or podium or behind some degree or office. A person that's confessional is willing to sit down with other people and say, yes, I stumbled there in my life. I used to be that. I used to do that. But here's how Christ came into my life. And see, that's their testimony. But when they hide their past, when they don't want anybody to know, why? That's your testimony. That's your ministry. Said it many times in here. Where you've stumbled, where you've fallen, where you've really had it happen. What do you think God allowed that for? It wasn't because he's mad at you and hates you. He wants you to minister in that particular area a lot. Other areas, yes. But where you've struggled the most, that's your ministry. Look at it. To help other people who are struggling the same way. To say, yes, I doubt God. Or I've been mad at God. Or yes, I did this. Yes, when I was younger, yeah, I sinned like this, or I slept with a bunch of people, or had an abortion, or two or three, or what I did, it took drugs, and Jesus has rescued me from that. And somebody is saying to you, really? He can do that? He can forgive me for that? He forgave me. He'll forgive you. Let's talk about how to let that happen. That's how you witness. That's your ministry. You don't have to walk down the street passing out little pamphlets. You sit down with people and share your life. Boy, that's going into all the world and making disciples. How? I'm not too proud. I'm not too religious. I'm not so caught up in me to not share my weaknesses and share with other people. And they can look and say, you mean, he's brought me out of the pit, friend, and this is where I am today. And I'm here only because of the grace of Christ. Let me tell you about it. And before you know it, you've led another one to Jesus. Just like that. That's how it's done. And real true believers do that. They don't hide anything. Oh, there's certain things you don't want anybody to know. You know, we don't want to know if you eat dill pickles and ice cream. Keep that to yourself. Somebody told me that a while back. They said, I like dipping dill pickles in the vanilla ice cream. And it's like, ruin my lunch. Don't, there's certain things. Yeah. Whew. But you know what I'm talking about. And you ask yourself, is this person humble or are they proud and boastful? I want to tell you something. If you have to tell people how much you know about God, you don't know much. But if they can see in your life that you know God, you know a lot. Big difference, right? And then the last one. You ready for this one? You jot this passage down, study it. Romans 8:16. Does your spirit bear witness with their spirit that they're who they say they are? Romans 8:16 says, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if he does that, I have the Holy Spirit. He'll be testifying to me, not only that I'm God's child, but he gives me a discernment whether you are or not. And if you ever have a hesitation about someone, you kind of step back. You ever had that? I mean, you just, everybody's saying, oh, this person's really great, but you get near them and you just kind of like, my spirit's saying no. Listen to it. I don't care how much praise a person receives. You let your spirit bear witness. And if your spirit doesn't, ease out. It's not for you. Okay, we've hit that one pretty hard. Let's grab another one. Bet you're saying, do we have to? But this is important. This is important. This is the proof that who I am and that we're Christians. And it also shows who is not. Then let's look at these. These true disciples from false ones discern the true from false. What does that mean? The true believers from false believers. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say, you know, you can prophesy my name, cast out all these demons and work many miracles. And I'll say, I don't know you. Get out of here. Apart from me in that day, the judgment day. I don't know you. Does that ever mess with you? Do you ever think, my goodness, what's he talking about? Because here's the catch. Saying it is not enough. Working miracles won't do it. Prophesying, preaching will not accomplish it. What? It what? Salvation. Listen. A person that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And this happened. Do you remember in Scripture? The disciples came and said, Jesus, we heard someone preaching in your name and they're doing all this. And we told them to stop because they're not one of us. And he said, don't you stop that person. At least my name's being preached. It's being put out there. A lost person can invoke the name of Jesus Christ over a situation and the name of Jesus will cause that evil spirit or whatever's going on to bow. Listen to me. What does the scripture say? You know, it says Jesus was, you know, being found in the form of a person, you know, what? Became humble. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place. And God gave Jesus, what? The name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven and earth beneath the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What did he say? Not at your name and not at what you are, but at the name of Jesus. So someone who doesn't even know the Lord, they claim the name of Jesus, they speak it, and he says that name, it's above every other name, will cause every knee to bow. It's his name. And then, but people then will look at that person and say, oh, there is a real... No, never do that. Realize the name of Jesus invoked in certain situations will cause demons to flee. People can be healed. Things can happen. Miracles performed. That does not mean that person is of the Lord. That's why he's saying, in that day, you'll say you've done all these things. What? In my name. You know what's missing there? And he'll say, I didn't know you, depart from me. You did it in my name, but you never knew my name. You never knew me. You never humbled yourself, confessed your sins, repented of them, and asked me to save your soul. You never put your faith in me, the living Christ. You just used my name. And how many people do you think are sitting in churches today using Jesus' name, saying the right words, singing the right songs, dressing up like they're, you know, doing everything right, except they don't have Jesus in their heart? Now listen, friends, this is not to make you doubt your salvation. This is to make us all ask that one question. Have I reached that place in my life, at whatever time, when I was broken by my sins, and I confessed them, and I repented, and I said, God, here's my sins, and I hate them. Jesus, save me. I put my faith in you, in what? that you're the Son of the living God. You died on the cross for me. You rose again the third day, and you're sitting at God's right hand interceding for me. Man, if you prayed that prayer, listen, ladies, gentlemen, you pray that prayer. It doesn't have to be those exact words, but you get that, and you get the idea. If you've done that, you're saved. And your name's written in the book of life, Lamb's book of life, Jesus' book of life, and you're sealed in the Holy Spirit. You've got it. But if you've never done that, you're just using the name. You're a pew baby. You grew up sitting in a pew. We don't have pews, but you know what I mean. The old church is dead. You've been in church so long, you just know how to use all the right terms. But have you ever looked at your heart and said, I got to change. This crud's got to come out of me. You ever reach that place in Ephesians? For by grace are you saved through faith. This not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, that's where the kicker is. Don't doubt. Get it right. And if you know you've gotten it right. Now listen, the first thing might come to your mind is, yeah, Tony, I've done that, but I've sinned since then. Well, join the crowd. That's why we totally depend every day on God's grace. Being saved does not make us perfect. It makes us justified before God. And it makes us children of the Lord, of the living God, co-heirs with Christ. That's also in Romans 8. You can read that. This is not meant to make you doubt or scared. This is an examination message to say, look at the proof. Have you asked Jesus, have you humbled yourself and asked him into your heart and repented of your sins? Yes, I have. Good. Then you're one of the crowd. You're one of us. You're going to heaven. In the meantime, your life will show it. It may be a little strung out at times, but it'll show it. Is everybody good with this? Jesus said, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's the proof. I picked up that cross a many a time. I've denied myself a many a time. And I've also a many a time just blown it right out the door. There have been times in life, I'm saying this to help you, if you've done the same thing. You're just going along and you think, man, Jesus and I, we got it. And then something comes along and you're convicted in your heart and you know you're supposed to be selfless, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, what about me? You ever done that? Yeah, I have too. And I've told God, look, I've been going and counseling people, and I've been doing this, and I've been running my legs off, and what am I getting for it? What good has it done me? I'm tired, I'm worn out, and I don't like anybody anymore. You know what God does? Nothing. Really. It's like, go ahead. You know what, like, one thing I like about God there? He doesn't interrupt my conversations. He doesn't tell me I'm stupid. He doesn't say, oh, shut up. He doesn't say anything. He just, nothing. And I just pour it all out, and then I realize, you know what God does with me? I suspect he does it with most of us. He lets me hear myself. And finally, I get tired of hearing me. Don't you? He'll just let you, just complain out loud long enough, and you'll get tired of hearing you. That's why I won't interrupt. And then calmly, slowly, and surely, that still, quiet voice of the Spirit will convict you and say, now let's talk. And a scripture will come to mind, or he'll lead you in the Bible, whatever. And suddenly he's speaking to you. It's okay. It's okay. Now let's get through the spell. And let's get it right. Do you really despise people like you're saying? No. Do you love my people? With me and what I do, many times he's brought me to this. Do you love me? Yeah, feed my sheep. Did you have to do that? You know, you love me? Feed them. You love me? You know I do. Same thing. It wasn't just Peter. It's all of us, and he's certainly in this position. You love me, Tony? Do you really? Yeah, you know I do. Then feed them. And there's times, you know, do I jump up and down and say, oh, yeah. No, I say, okay. Give me another message, and we get on with it. Friends, that's when you're walking with God. He's so great. He's so patient. He'll let us work through our stuff. Listen to this. But if you're working through your stuff, that's a sure sign you're saved, because people at ART don't work through their stuff. I mean, people say, I just feel so convicted. I feel guilty about so many things. And you think I'm a Christian? If you weren't, you wouldn't feel guilty about anything. That's why you feel guilty, because you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit's pointing it out to you. Otherwise, your conscience would be seared. I got to close, and you're ready for me too with this kind of message? Okay, thank you. I needed that encouragement. I know this is got some heft to it. Let's get this third one. It's not as much in this one, but it's building on the rock. And it's just this. He said, you know, the wise people are the ones that hear my word and they do it. And when they do it, it's like it's building your house on the rock. What does he mean? He's saying, you're going to have to look at your traditions, your prior religious experiences, the things you were taught in your environment, the habits, the junk, that you keep hanging on to. And so you're going to take a look at that and compare it to my word and look in my word and ask me, did this really line up with Scripture, or is this a bunch of human teachings that's been forced on me? I had to do that. I had lots of denominational stuff. I mean, I bounced from, as you know, most of you, I bounced from Catholic to Church of Christ. My dad's Catholic. Mom, Church of Christ, good Lord, what a mixture. And then I was and Baptist, and just, you know, whoppity whoppity whop. Well, I had a confusion of doctrines. Can you imagine the confusion of doctrines with that? And God had to really take me down to the dirt to cleanse my heart. There was things I just, one is saying, if you're not a member of this church, you're going to go to hell. Another one is saying, if you don't come to confession, do all this, you're going to be this. And another one didn't say it, but implied it. If you're not one of us, if you're not baptized in our church, you're really not going to make it. And while at the same time saying, oh no, we recognize everybody's faith, we all know this, but yet, have you been baptized? Yeah, where were you baptized? Oh, that's the wrong church. Got to be baptized in our church. What's the difference? And so all this crud, and God had to bring me to the place to say, where in my word does it say all this? What does it say, Tony? I've called you to feed my sheep, but you better feed them the right food. Biblical food. Not denominational food, not, you know, not traditional food, not the way you want it to be or somebody else says it is. What I say, and that's it. That's it. It's what's in my word. And I challenge you today to look at it and say, am I building on the rock? Is my biblical soundness, structure, my knowledge, my prayer life, my faith in Christ, is it built on the Word of God, or have I put in some stuff that's not going to hold up? He says, you build on the rock, Jesus Christ, and your life is being built around what God's Word says and nobody else, nothing else. You have to examine your heart to get there. But once you get there, and boy, God puts that brick and mortar in place, and he puts that rock together on Jesus Christ, your solid foundation, and he said the rains will come, floods will hit you, winds will blow, but your house is going to stand. And he said, those people that go off, and just like this, that'll hear a message this morning here or somewhere else, and Lord's speaking right to their heart, but they turn him out. And they go on doing the same old stuff with the same old habits that they know, same old traditions they've been doing. And God says, you're building on sand, and a crisis is going to come, and I'm not going to be there. And why? Because you won't let me there. You've built it on tradition, philosophy, and I'll tell you something else we build on. That's sand. Selfishness, what I want, the way I want life to be. And God says that it'll come. And you know how the floods come in most lives? And we're closing, I promise. I just felt compelled, I have to get this in. You know how floods come for most people, and heavy storms? somebody gets real sick or somebody dies, God calls somebody home, and we face the ultimate crisis in our house. That's where we know, is our house built on Jesus? Or we ourselves go through some crisis? You know, he's let me do it over the last couple of years, and I'm facing another situation. I don't want to go through it. I'm going to have to go through it. And yet, God is, and I know, even though I don't like it, we don't have to like it. We just yield to it. And I know God's using that, saying, I'm testing you. I allow this stuff to happen for a lot of reasons, but one of them is, Tony, I want you to be sure that you're not building on any sand. You've got to be built on me. You've got to trust me. Your faith must be told in me, not in doctors, not in hospitals, not in organization, not anything on this earth. What about you? How many storms, how many floods, how many hard winds are going to have to blow for you to realize, I've got to get this sand out from under my foundation. This has got to be built on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone. That's why things have happened to you. That's why you've had losses. That's why you've been hit hard. That's why a lot of things come. It's not God punishing us. He's saying, I just want you to know in your heart that you're built on me and me alone. And there you have it. Now you know by their fruits, you know the difference. And now you know that it's not just saying, Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name, but it's being in his name. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and that's where it is. Abide in me, I'll abide in you. Are you living in Christ? Is he living in you? And then thirdly, it's building on the rock. My whole life, my whole existence, is it built on Jesus Christ, my solid rock. There's a song, but I don't remember all the words to it. But it's something, Christ the solid rock I stand. All other things, is that right? It's sinking sand. I remember that, yeah. That's right. So I'll close with this. Put Jesus into action. Let your faith be active. It's not saying, it's doing. Confess, repent, have faith and hope and love. Forgive because you're forgiven. Extend grace because he gives grace to you. These are all signs, all witness that the Holy Spirit is in you. You do this and Christ becomes alive to you and you're alive in him. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Father, we thank you for your word, the power of it. Before we close today, we've had a witnessing message here. Is there anyone who's been doubting their salvation who today, you just want to raise your hand, I'll come to you. Do you want me to pray with you? Do you want to ask Jesus in your heart? Now's the day. Ask him. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I realize I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. But right now, I'm asking you, Jesus, in my heart. I repent of those sins. Please forgive me. I confess you as my Savior and Lord. Right now, you are the Son of God who died for me on that cross and rose again the third day. If you pray that prayer, if you do it, we'll help you. We'll baptize you. We're going to have baptisms here pretty soon. Now's the best time for you. Anyone at all, right now, ask him into your heart. Raise your hand. We'll come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to help you. Anyone, in any way. Can't have a message like this and not ask. We've got to know. Is Jesus in your heart? Be sure. And if he is, then you rejoice this day. Father, we rejoice in your word, in your spirit. We rejoice, Father God, that you put up with us and we have the witness of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and we're building on solid rock. We stand. The Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all for being here this day.